pleasure and a privilege to be engaged in worship with you this morning, and appreciate all that's gone before, and particularly the prayer that was offered in part on our behalf, and ask that you continue in prayer. Lord, be with us in a very special way. This morning I'd like to, preach in a manner that's not common for the way I generally approach a subject. I'd like to begin by doing an extended reading in your hearing. If you'll turn with me to 2 John, I'm going to begin by reading 2 John and 3 John. Don't worry, they're only one chapter apiece, so it shouldn't take too long. 2 John begins this way. It says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children, walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that, as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." That's 2 John. 3 John reads this way. It says, "The elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth, itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." Now, I, again, don't normally do this much reading while I'm preaching, but there is a reason I wanted to read both of those. Just from the reading, you may have noticed how similar these two epistles, these two letters are. There are almost identical thoughts given in them. And the reason I wanted to read both of them is for two reasons. One, 2 John is written to a church. 3 John is written to an individual. 2 John is written to the elect lady and her children. It even references her elect sister. John is speaking to the church, and he's giving them words that he wants them to hear. He even says in 3 John, "I wrote unto the church." I believe he's speaking of this very epistle. But in 3 John, he's speaking to Gaius. He's speaking to an individual. But the thoughts are identical, just about. And the thoughts that we would like to bring this morning, they're good for our church. They're good for our individual lives. They're good for all aspects and all facets of it. So let's go through this and see the similarity of thought and how John correlates these things, and whether it's an individual or whether it's a church, I think it's very needful and both apply. John is a very interesting individual. He is one who had, you might say, one of the most special circumstances on earth, that he was privileged to be one of three who got to see things that other men didn't, even the other apostles. I mean, he was privileged already that he was one of 12 that Jesus called from the walks of life to be his apostles, to be his disciples. But so many times, Jesus, when he would go and do something extra special, he would take three with him. And the three were Peter, James, and John. So John was not just an apostle. He got to be with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He got to go further than the other nine did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He got to go in the house with Jesus when he raised up Jairus' daughter back to life. I mean, this was a man who had a very, very interesting experience on earth. And he is generally known by most scholars, by most commentators, and most people who read the Bible as the apostle or the disciple of love, because he speaks so much about love. But what I'd like to deal with this morning is how John talks really and truly about love. Because this world and this age in which we live, love is very misunderstood, love is very misapplied, and in sometimes love isn't even properly identified and distinguished. Notice how John begins 2 John to the church. He says in verse 1, he says, in verse 2, he says, "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." John is actually, before he even talks about love, speaks about how important truth is. And notice what he says. He says, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." Here John correlates love and truth. They cannot exist apart from each other. When you have real love, truth must be at the heart of it. I referenced yesterday about when a man and a woman stand and take vows, and they vow to love each other in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor, no matter the circumstance, as long as they live. I mean, they are saying on that day that they love each other. But that love is bound by the truth of that oath. And if they are not faithful to the oath that they take, that love is not as pure as it needs to be. It's not as real as it ought to be. Notice John says that this must be in truth and love. He even says that I rejoiced greatly when I found of thy children walking in the truth. In 3 John, he says in verse 4, to Gaius, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I love how John describes this. He describes God's people as little children. He describes them as his beloved. He describes it as a very special thing. But he says his highest joy, what he rejoices the most in, is to hear that his children walk in truth. Now, the first point I want to make about truth